we're being recorded again. Yeah, like he did it.
Yay! Hopefully it started after I said it.
Yeah.
If you want to, I'll hear it
truncate a little bit if I need to.
Yeah, I can't take that chair. Can I squeeze in here?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'll take just a tiny corner.
You can have a big corner.
Okay, so we're going to hop right back in and look at the wording for projects are investigative and we're project-based.
Is anybody else hot?
It's a little warm here.
I'm always hot.
Okay, projects are investigative and or project based. Barbara, hear you saying something about the projects under investigative or project based? Okay.
You're so tactful.
Just take that.
So do we think that this sort of summarizes the two potential frameworks, or and we think that that gets to the heart of the point, or do we think it's missing something? Anyone?
The and or is interesting.
Yeah, it actually says or in the definition.
So we have and or here in this box.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got into it like one of the people at NOAA headquarters, not John. was really asking us a lot of questions about this and what does this mean for a MIWI and can they be investigative but not project oriented? Should they be like what does this mean?
I think because project based is a specific thing, they can be investigative and not project based.
And vice versa.
I see.
So what should we say?
I would probably put the or rather than the and, but that. Just because that allows for that differentiation, but I'm not.
I'd leave the and just because you can do this, but if you do this, then you don't do that.
Okay.
The ideal situation would
one's
be
an exclusionary
be
set.
Yeah, and I want to be the least exclusionary, so I'm cool with it.
That song pops into my head. You can do this. You can do this.
This and this.
Because if you're doing a project,
you can do both. Yeah.
You're investigating.
Yeah.
So it says or right now, but we're suggesting in the actual and or.
Well, I mean, is one preferable? Should one are either one of these components essential, or really it doesn't matter? They're both very effective.
We just say projects are. It starts with projects. So, or it says experiences in the original wording.
Yeah, you probably want to.
Experiences are investigative? I mean, I'm assuming they're project-based.
So the question specifically that we got from NOAA Education is, so a lot of our MIWIs go out, they take data, they come back, they upload it, they reflect on it a little bit, great. Is that a MIWI? Was our question. Or does it have to have an action component? And the action component, Anita's brought this up and think in the past as well, but what... Does it need that restoration, that intentional tie to some sort of...
You have to define action. I mean, if you do the model for action, then we're talking a number of different types of action.
So we currently require that, right? We've had this same exact discussion internally, and otherwise, and I brought this up earlier, otherwise it's the field trip. That we're looking to go on the field trip, and potentially the field trip, a lot of providers now are kind of building in the action piece because that's what the funding restrictions are. But oftentimes it's a fun field trip, and there's a lot learned during that trip, and then they come back, and they maybe jump right to the reflection stage, a poster contest, or the morning announcements, that sharing piece, without any actual, what can we do on our school grounds or in our community about what we learned?
My question is, when you say action, does it always have to be restoration action?
No, and certainly we don't require that necessarily. It's more about a get your hands dirty. So a trash pickup, a storm drain stenciling, these are appropriate actions that are not restoration based.
Could it be a community presentation?
It currently cannot be a community presentation because we consider that reflection. We consider that the. So this gets back to the piece that right now the sharing, the external sharing piece is in the reflection stage only, right? We've discussed that it should maybe be encouraged throughout, right? But right now, anything like that is considered to be a robust reflection stage, that they communicate everything that they did. It's part of the project. But,
what if
wouldn't be it.
What if they find out that people need to know more? And then so...
And so the action...
And so the action is an informational piece.
Right.
Persuasive.
Yeah.
Right. Certainly, there's an argument for that. We've tried to make sure that they go outside again.
Well, I mean, I think we need to separate. I mean, if we're talking about a meaningful experience and if we're using the model, I mean, if we're just doing it for CBT's
purposes, certainly not. This is can inform a wide variety of things. I was just giving it something as an example of how it informs our work, but we're just one example.
That's my question is are we talking about, when we talk about action with the MeWe, are we talking about restoration action? Or eco-action?
Yeah, I was just trying to give everyone an example of how we interpret it.
Consumerism or persuasion or all those other ones be political action, be part of what we mean? I mean, I would argue that...
Political is not a word we would ever need to be able to...
Civic action.
Civic action.
We don't talk about civic. We wouldn't talk about persuasion either, probably, but...
But, I mean, I'm always thinking scale. Okay, yeah. And when I have a teacher as 120 students, because it's a middle school or whatever, and they're going to do a MeWe experience, do those 120 students have to be involved in a restoration action? Do they have to go plant a tree? Or, you know, you can't, mm-hmm. you only have one stencil and you can do so many storm drains. They probably were already done a couple years ago anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, it's bringing it down to breath.
You don't want it to be contrived. That's, you know, that restoration.
Right, that's what we're looking for.
It really needs to be something that they've discovered. You know,
it's student-led. It's part of the issue investigation that's happening, right? That it's all threaded together.
But I guess what I'm asking is if the students say, what we need to do is inform our community.
And it seems to me that part of the crux here, and it may just be the setup of the group that goes out on a field trip and there's a provider, is that if it's, they go out on the field trip, they have a great experience, and half an hour before the big yellow bus shows up again, the provider says, and now guys, we've got a bunch of trash bags, we're going to go out and we're going to pick up some trash.
Yeah.
The kids haven't thought about that, they haven't investigated it. They may not have even noticed that there was trash because they may not have even gone to that part. And it's not theirs. So they've done action. It goes back to the checklist.
We currently try to drive them back to their school or community. We allow that type of request, but we give preference to the requests that do the action within their school or community, not during the field trip, because it's not separate and it's certainly not connected to their world.
Right, and it hasn't given enough time for the thinking to incubate.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think you want to be open to different experiences too, and different ways of teaching and different ways of presenting MeWe's to kids, and instead of saying, well, it has to have an action component, maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe building sensitivity is good enough. I don't know, but service learning the nature of service learning is there's an action. It's just what it is. I mean, you develop the curriculum in the school and you learn about it and blah blah blah, and then you provide the service. Issue investigation. You heard Trudy say the philosophy is that there can be an action. I mean, there's an action plan, but we don't require students to take action because then they're taking it for some other reason than what we want them to. You know, project-based learning, I guess the nature of that is that there's something concrete at the end of the project.
But it's not necessarily an action.
Right. It doesn't necessarily serve any purpose other than the project-based learning purpose.
Right.
Not necessarily a broader community need. So, and you have and or project-based here. You know, and there are problem-solving models. Mm-hmm. that you could use. And the product of the problem-solving model is to solve the problem.
Right.
You know? So you, I think you want to leave yourself broader than you want to leave yourself too constricted.
Which is what I was saying before. I feel more comfortable with the using something like the strands from the guidelines, which is here are the targets for any environmental ed program or MIWI, and so then you give people the ability to choose one or more to design a program to get at that, given their audience and the maturity of the kids and the context and resources and everything that they either have or they need to pull it off. It leaves it more open, and I know that's very different from what's going on here, but it's just a plug for that.
But a broadened interpretation of this action phase.
Just to read what is already in here as the action phase. Should include one or more outdoor experiences sufficient to conduct the project, make the observations, or collect the data required. Students should be actively involved in the measurements, planning, and construction as safety guidelines permit. Doesn't say anything.
That's the outdoor experience, and that's what we see.
That's the construction design.
Doesn't
even
talk
about
exploration. Right, it can be data collection, which
that doesn't take it to the step that we're talking about.
Right.
Right. That evolution of it being in their community or in their school is something we've come to over reading countless proposals that are very poor. What a saying.
I mean, I would say that we fund a good deal of proposals that don't have a strong action component, but are very strong data collection, and they're exemplary. They're school division wide. They meet all these other things, but they don't have an action component. Mm-hmm. In either sense of the word, not a restoration action or really a civic action.
We absolutely support those types of projects that are water quality monitoring based, and it's going to produce data. In that case, we're not talking about a fun field experience that will educate them, and then they may or may not do something hands-on afterward that applies that information. The whole experience is hands-on outdoors, right? In which case, those are actually probably the proposals that are rise to the top of the list, because it tends to be much more issue investigation oriented than a disconnected, disjointed pieces of a well, we may go look at horseshoe crabs, but then we're thinking about raising oysters, and maybe we'll do reef balls, but we're not going to deploy either of them. We're going to hand them off, right? And none of it has anything to do with the next thing that they can articulate.
But what I heard Michaela say yesterday is that it's less about the data collection and more about using the data, and I think that many of the proposals that we see fall short of meaningfully using
and
the data.
And that's what I was going to say is, so what are they doing with the data other than saying, oh, look at that. We measured a whole bunch of trees, or we measured a whole bunch of pH, or we whatever. And even beyond just the academic experience of, okay, we measured it, and now we've graphed it. Right. Or we made pretty graphs. Isn't that nice? What does that mean? And even if it's to at least the sort of planning stage of action or planning stage of investigation, mm-hmm. where you start to say, well, how come the pH here is different from there, and what might we
follow up
with that? And so it seems like I guess I feel passionately that we need to nudge people beyond the just go out and collect data.
The math.
Right.
So yeah, this may math. Be, the answer here may be a broader interpretation of the action project, but a stronger emphasis on this, right? On mm-hmm. as a solution to this question. Does everyone agree?
Yes.
Great. So we're going to move on.
It does mean that it's a much bigger time commitment for the
right.
teacher.
Right, that's true.
Beyond the field trip and maybe a half hour in the classroom
right.
afterwards. Follow up. It's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yesterday we heard about direct and indirect actions. I think it was Michaela.
Right. Yeah. Actually, it was Trudy. Trudy and Bill.
And so I think what right. we're saying, to make sure I'm hearing it right, is
sure.
that we're suggesting direct and indirect actions.
Yes.
Broader definition. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
And we are stressing this in Virginia with, going way beyond just collecting some data, but now you need to go back and we need to take a look at that data and we need to figure out what it's telling us. And from that, you know, is there something more that needs to be done, or is there, you know, do we need to tell somebody about it, or something like that.
You know, this is what you're all doing here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
now.
True.
You know, and it's a hard process, and I think that's sometimes why students and teachers shy away from it, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's time consuming.
And it
doesn't
always come with the results that you want it to come out.
That's right, and there are no answers.
Totally different from what you thought you were going to be doing.
Yeah.
Right. So to me, this still speaks more to, and I wasn't part of the conversation about the ongoing, where the reflection kind of goes through all of it. But to me, the action, or this is part of that, how I've traditionally thought about the reflection piece, and whereas we've oftentimes said that it's about communicating. Bye, Don.
Sorry, I have to leave early.
Thank you for coming.
Incredible conference. Really great job, Shannon. I'm not sure who to pat on the back.
It's a big group effort, so thank you. I'll pass along your kudos. But this is from Don. This is from Don. You guys helped out a lot. Action and to me, this action and or reflection, a more robust kind of after field experience, if you will, and then a separate community communication kind of component is kind of where my brain is going. So there's something more about the actual experience, and then there's communication.
Right. I think what I'm hearing too, with a stronger emphasis on that connection across those phases, if you will. And I think that is a challenge that I don't know. I know that we only have another 20 minutes, so we could talk about this for the rest of the time. And I think that is the challenge of how to communicate that, to emphasize that connection across these phases, work in external communication throughout, and you know, not just in the summative evaluation piece. But I think that our conclusion is similar to what we've concluded on a couple other of these, which is that what we're struggling with is that whole picture, right? Because we're dealing with steps.
Well, I think it also comes out both this and some of the other stuff we've been talking about comes into, it is essential that there is an action component and some sort of reflection. It is recommended that is somehow, like, whatever, it captures some more of the breadth of that conversation. Similarly, up in experiences are investigative or project-based, what I heard kind of underline some of that is that student-led, like, it's important that the experiences are there as essential, but that student-led or driven is recommended. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's some stuff within there.
That's a skill teachers have to learn.
Yes.
That is not something they do normally.
No.
And so that process, bringing the kids through that process is a key piece when we start developing whatever it is
we're showing. That's right. So the results that you weren't expecting, that teachers are, you know, oh, you're supposed to do this.
Yeah. But again, I'm just going to repeat that, you know, this is happening with Common Core. I mean, that same idea of student-led stuff is part of what teachers are going through right now for professional development. I mean, they are jamming Common Core down our throats, and you got to take it and you got to go, and they're struggling. Teachers are struggling to learn how to do it this way, but that's their expectation now, you know. So, like I said, we got to jump on.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. MeWe should occur at each level of instruction, elementary, middle, and high school.
I think that's essential, and it's recommended every year.
Right.
Trudy, you know, when she said, you know, we need to make sure it absolutely is happening at the elementary level. You know, and that's where teachers need support.
There's a difference between each of the levels and then each year. So there's need to be some clarification there.
The grade bands?
Right. So.
So is it that you get one experience in K-4 and you get one experience in 5-8 and you get one experience in high school, or is it that you get one experience for 13 years, each of your 13 years in school?
Yeah, exactly. Virginia requires at minimum three. One in elementary, one in middle, and one in high school. Yeah. You know, we hope that there'll be more than one, but they're required to do a MEWI.
So it could be both. It could be essential that it's in within each grade band and recommended that it's within each grade.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we actually want to revise the wording? Or to say that it's recommended that it occurs at each grade level?
Can you say that schools need to develop it or put it into their scope and sequence plan?
That would be great. Yeah.
Because then it'll probably get done. If it's planned for and there's accountable, yeah. And then they think about how they're going to do it at the different grade levels and within a grade.
And it may be a multi-grade. You know, they may start something in fourth and build on it in fifth.
Yep.
Which is actually quite common, particularly with the action project piece. When it is done robustly, it's something that they build on over different years.
And in Maryland, you're seeing a bunch. There's, you know, once in elementary, once in middle, once in high school, they're trying to really get off campus and do something very robust. And in the other years, they're developing things on campus because it's cost prohibitive to get however many kids. But you can do very meaningful things on your campus and then have the ahs once every few years.
Great.
This one also feels a little different than the rest, and that it actually, this one doesn't define a MeWe. It's how you implement it.
It is an implementation.
So
yeah.
I wonder if this is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little confusing.
What are you recommending, John?
Either pull it out or elaborate more on implementation.
Is it buried in the...
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
It's interesting that you note that because I don't think... Where can I grab this from? It actually is not... It is in a whole different section in the document itself.
So maybe call it out at the front. What are you thinking?
What's the section title?
It's kind of the intro section to where we talk about this is what a K-5 experience looks like. This is what a 6-8 experience. And it is treated differently than the other things. That's it.
Do we use part of the definition to include student-led
where appropriate? Like, or I had thought the student-led thing was in something. It was in something previously. The stuff we had yesterday. I thought there was stuff about student guided by this.
I think that's your stuff.
It was.
See, I was trying to lead people down a certain path.
Okay.
Yeah, guided by learning interests and independent thinking. So yeah, I didn't know if that was something that.
If you're segueing to the next.
Yes. Let's segue to the. I think that's a great segue because we're talking now about something that we don't see in the wording that we were just looking at. So now we're going to transition to that blank document that we'd all been a little bit confused about, right? Does everyone have your blank document? So this is just a place for us to take notes during this discussion about the things we think are potential gaps, things that are missing, things that we've heard over the presentations over the past couple days that we think should potentially be included. And Melanie kicked it off with student-led.
It just has to be age-appropriate.
Right.
Okay.
I put developmentally appropriate.
Yes,
age
because of,
We didn't, and I'm not even sure where exactly this would fit. And it may not be under us, it may be under the teachers or whatever, but I think somewhere in the whole big scope of it, we need to talk about administrators and the some level of buy-in from the administrators, some level of making sure that they understand the importance of what this is and what it is, and making sure that it's happening in their schools. And that's not out there right now.
I think that what we could do, I would hope that the teacher group picked up on, or the school group, one of those, but we should make a note to make sure that it's there.
Because I don't know that this is the place for it, but I do think that needs to be included sometimes. I think we need to be very explicit about it, because it won't happen otherwise, and it needs to be a piece of this.
So I don't think some of the stuff, Estelle, that you were bringing up isn't in here. Some of the direct, you know, civic engagement, service learning, meeting community needs. Mm-hmm. Is that something that needs a place in this definition?
Is it a definition you're going to come out with best practices? Is that what we're doing, or are we?
We're doing two things. We're revising the actual MeWe documentation. So this will look different, slightly different. And we're developing a suite of best practices documents for students, educators, and whatever, as needed. I mean, it may be well enough to just reference some of the other work that's already out there.
Right.
But if there's something different that we want to say specifically for
us. Because all those lists that we got yesterday.
I know, it's confusing. Sorry.
Everybody gave us some really good best practices. But sometimes I think best practices can be philosophical, and then there's, what does it look like when you translate it into, oh, that's what I could do? Like, when you say communicating with, when we ran summits on our, in Pennsylvania we have a watershed program, but each program has a summit where students come together, five kids per teacher, and they have to present, and in a very formal way, they're not judged, though, it's not like an Olympiad or Envirothon. But it's a sharing of data, and then you put the watersheds together, all the kids that are studying the bush kill in the different schools, and then they study their different impacts that they have seen along the stream. And that three-day event, it's a three-day event, we fund it every year for the different watersheds that are doing it, and it's a great sharing. So that's what it looks like when they communicate. So all year long, those kids are studying their stream, and then they present. They present as formal presenters do, and it's just a very successful thing. While the kids are presenting, the teachers, we also train teachers during that three-day period, so that's a double one.
So are there components of that that aren't currently in the definition? Because I heard an outdoor experience, I heard, you know, a couple things over the course of the year, I heard follow-up, I heard communication. Is there something that's
Under communication. It's not under your definitions, under best practices. So if you were to talk about best practices, developing a list of best practices, mm-hmm. it might be something you would start developing those ideas that work. I mean, we've heard so many things that did work, more than a three-day, you know, teacher workshop, but I think it's the same with students. You want to train students for a longer period of time than an hour presentation at a field experience, because it doesn't have any change factor, right?
So the presentation is part of the civic engagement piece is what you're getting at. I think that that's definitely a piece that's missing right now that we could highlight as part of the best practices. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I feel like I'm
are we moving?
I see what you're saying. Communication though. Like I understand. No, it's good. So I think what Shannon was trying to say earlier is that I think we have to think of this separate of the MeWe now, but that communication piece, we're not calling that out as a best practice right now, that it would be civic involvement of the students as part of this experience, right?
I think that would be wonderful.
Is that mm-hmm. something that needs to be there? There's a connection to the community or civic engagement. I mean, do we want to be as explicit as saying civic engagement, or is it connection to the intentional connection to their community, or what's the wording that is palatable and
I am not paying her.
I find that hard to believe.
That's really
tough. I have a question. Earlier, when we were talking about the human impact, are we going to merge the civic engagement with the human impact, or is that going to be, are you envisioning currently having a section just for the human impact so the civic engagement can be...
Relates to that,
It relates, but it's separate of. Yeah. Human impact is not necessarily that you now know how to change that problem, but it is, you have to learn what human impact is in order to say, now what laws could I develop to change that, or what action can I do to change that action. I think they're two different things. One's a subject, and one's an action.
And I think I was getting at what you, I think you brought it up during your presentation yesterday, was that in that whole direct and indirect things, there are some things issues that are more complicated, and you need those indirect actions in order to solve that problem. Some things are pretty, you know, you install a rain barrel, someone's talking about that. That's pretty direct, but then there's all these indirect things that are...
Oh, yeah.
Capture that. Just write down strand four.
I wrote both.
Well, if the terminology the board used is stewardship and civic responsibility, then that might be a little more palatable than civics and government, which is definitely a social, you know what I mean? Like, you say that, like you say watershed to science, social studies teachers, they tune out too. But I'm trying to think, how do you unite science?
Yeah.
You know, like, unite
the one. Well, the one comment that was made by Mark, I think, was the, you know, he talked about the holistic approach. Mm-hmm. And that's bringing in that, now, again, I don't know how you say it, you know, without somebody going, wait a second, this is science, you know, which I hate.
Abby, what were you going to say?
It was a question. If you could remind me who the audience is for this document. Who primarily is this document speaking to?
People who are developing, basically, programs.
Educators, the teachers, the principals. Principals probably don't look at it as much as we would like them to look at it, but teachers, very definitely, you know, we encourage them to.
Environmental education providers.
Okay, so the way I would describe that to those people is different than other stakeholders, possibly. You know what I mean? Like the way, like the terms we're using, civic engagement versus stewardship, or, you know, does that play into that at all? Like how teachers would respond differently than, because at the moment this seems like a very technical document written for a different audience, but if we're trying to soften it up a little bit for teachers and make it more accessible,
I would say it's less for teachers. I mean, certainly we wanted teachers to understand some of the underlying principles, but the guidance document, I would say, would be at an administrator or higher.
Administrator or higher level, okay.
Level. I mean, basically what it's going to do is it's going to inform funding and kind of program direction.
Exactly, which we will then try to communicate all these pieces in a digestible way for a teacher, right?
I was just going to say, as long as we do that next step and do something that teachers can refer to.
And so I think that's a very unique level.
And I think that the best practices documents are probably our attempt at that next level, at that administrator, teacher, I mean, not administrator, principal, not administrator, school division.
One thing that Michaela mentioned yesterday was choice among learning activities. Do you guys remember that? It got me thinking that, so relative to the student-led piece, that they would, that there's an issue investigation or a question that's posed to them, and that they might have, that's not something we currently really promote or discuss, is that, you know, and again, it all depends on, you know, if it's grade appropriate, but that choice was a, you know, among learning activities for a student, what drove interest, or at least that's how I interpreted what she said. Everyone's looking at me like three heads.
So it's
I don't remember that little piece.
Yeah. Okay.
It develops ownership. Choice
And that and choice in general develops ownership. So that makes sense.
In your experience with the students you've worked with, these with that model, how does that work? You have 30 kids in the classroom, and you've already planned to go to a field trip to whatever, and it's supposed to be part of that. If it's choice, you can't have 30 different decisions.
Well, there are some,
I mean, it's guided, but, you know, like I said, you know, if you have...
It's choice.
Just one of your classes. Right. If you get 120 kids, then...
Some of it is generic. I mean, the skill development part is generic, learning that part. And then... For one thing you could do is to put an issues bulletin board and students select on that. And then some of it depends on how, you know, the nature of the data collection, where you go from there. Sometimes it doesn't require you to do anything other than direct what's going on. You know, you can take all the kids out. Maybe only a few of them are working on that issue, and the others can be doing something else on the outdoor experience. Or maybe they can do it on their own. You know, so there are different ways to do it. with service learning, of course, I mostly work with adult populations, so I don't have some of those same constraints, but with the service learning, you know, we solicit projects from middle schools for middle school improvement, and the students pick and choose which ones they want until you have about four on a team, and then they do the research and they answer the questions and make the recommendations. They send those packets, all that stuff back to the middle schools. So that's their project and their action is the way they've addressed the needs of the school. Now, so it's easier for me to think about it that way, but when you get down, obviously, choice is a little more complicated with protected classes of people, like young students, like minors. You can't just let them go. And
I'm sorry to be the practical one, but I'm thinking teacher in the classroom. It has to be directed.
But student choice, you know, having the students all vote as a class on something is much better than the teacher saying, okay, guess what? We're going to do this really cool project, and at the end we're going to take this action.
I mean, that's what it has to be some ways, but otherwise it's not practical.
Especially for research when, for science monitoring, citizen monitoring, choice.
It's just, you know, it's a compounding thing, you know. You're planning on going on, or you know that you're going to go on a field trip, you know, to this, and you're going to be doing this kind of stuff, you know, and so then it's like, well, you know, here's the choices. Now, maybe when you go to that field trip, your investigation may be slightly different than another class or whatever.
And that's what I think that it's in that typical continuum of stuff. You know, we don't every day have the luxury of walking into the classroom and saying, so kids, what do you want to learn about today? You know, and if you don't want to do any reading today, that's fine. We're gonna go
just
play
around the corner.
Exactly. You know, so it's. I think that it becomes more. It's like when you start a unit and you do the typical, what do we know? What do we want to know? What did we learn? Type thing. Right. Well, you know, when you're doing the what do we want to learn part of that, you're giving them some choices and some ideas and say, well, okay, how are we going to go about doing that? You've started off saying, we're going to learn about watersheds.
Right.
You know, I mean,
what do you want to know about that?
Know about that? So I think there's lots of different pieces. And then you always have to throw in the, you know, the developmental issue is that it's age, but it's also, if you have certain special populations, you have to do directive teaching. And you're not giving as much choice in certain situations. So yeah, I think you have to be careful that it isn't this like at all times we're always asking the kids their opinion. Yeah.
It's not completely free, but
having
been a classroom teacher, you know, you can play the game of, oh, you get choice A and choice B.
Exactly.
But you picked what A and B are.
Where I might actually make it a little bit better is making those choices that are at least more relevant to the students' lives. So you can do a checkbox of, yes, we had student choice, for which, you know, any teacher can pull off, because it's just a trick that you do.
Exactly.
Versus the challenging piece of making that choice, making some of those choices or all of those choices relevant to their lives. That's what we want, because that's where the power is in making, you know, in students being able to choose that. And if you can make that a criteria.
Which was the instruction that should be guided by learners' interests, which was on the original.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The original list.
But not their interests, but their its relevance.
Yeah, and I think that there's and I think the relevance, the real world, the relevance authentic. And the interests and authentic and there's a whole bunch of those words, they are subtly different. I mean, I think that you can have choices, their interests might not be about things that are actually relevant to them.
Right.
I had that conversation with somebody, 3-year-olds love dinosaurs. Not necessarily real relevant, but they're very interested in
exactly.
it. You know? And so I think that if we can capture some of those notions of that, the relevance, the real world, and their interests.
Right. Like Mark's video yesterday, connecting it to their lives.
And what portion of is it all of the MIWI needs to be relevant? Is the action component? Is the outcome?
Bomb.
Yeah.
It's also about the teacher to make that.
But I think,
I think that language can be part of the general description of what a MIWI is about.
Right.
That it's about authentic and
and, you know, action-oriented, you know, types of things. That it doesn't have to be one of these, you know, little pieces that are written out, but I think it needs to be said that it should be.
Right.
I mean, we talk about it being local and that kind of stuff, and that in and of itself makes it more relevant to those students. You know?
And I think that it is that piece of that. If you can build into the MeWe, and maybe it is in the general language or it's salted in different places, is that if you can build in that notion that you, as the educator, you're trying to provide these opportunities. That's the language I learned for early childhood, is you're providing opportunities. You're not telling the kid to do anything because they're not going to do it. So you provide opportunities, but you provide opportunities for the development of sensitivity. And that's a connection, and that's relevant, right? And that's where you're, so how are you building in relevance to the student? Well, they're finding it through their connections and their sensitivity. How are they building in relevance? Well, it's through their connecting to their real lives and their everyday lives and saying, well, do you realize that you drink the water that comes? Ah, that's relevant to me. Oh, do you realize that your favorite rock star lives down the street? I don't know. I mean, but the social side of things, their everyday life part of it is part of the relevance. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that the teachers understand how to sort of weed that out into being something probably closer to reality than your favorite rock star. Is going to be a piece of that. So I don't think that it's every single little piece is relevant to, you know, their lives at this moment in time, but it's trying to make sure that you highlight the pieces. And frankly, if you do bring in the social side of things, you're going to find a lot more relevance.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find humans in their interaction in the environment.
Right,
too.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to say how much I love your words about providing opportunities for sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really struggling with a sentence in here that says, carefully selected experiences driven by rigorous academic learning standards engendering discovery and wonder.
Cool.
Those don't seem to fit together for
forced, like forced wonder.
Forced wonder.
Right.
You will wonder now.
Are you wondering yet?
Yeah.
Have you opened your eyes?
I didn't write it. I've been here a decade. This is for
you. Yeah, but you live by it. That's how the rest of us.
I judge you by it. Yeah.
But I
just saying.
I
was going
to tell you. I just wanted to really repeat that because
right.
your words, like, they really spoke to me because I feel like the more we try to impart, you know, constraints on what needs to happen for these kids, they're going to lose opportunities for sensitivity if we're constantly holding their hand and ushering them into wherever we're trying to get them to go. So I'm not sure where to insert that, but that seemed like a good.
Well, the other piece, kind of following that same thread that I heard yesterday, that is important, I think, and I don't know if it's part of the MeWe or just something that we say, is that just those unstructured opportunities as part of the normal school day need to be somehow incorporated in this. Go outside and, you know, make sure that there's recess. Make sure that you're writing outside. If there's an outdoor classroom, it doesn't have to be just about growing the vegetables. Just go there and be there and, you know, just watch the butterfly go by and, wow, butterfly, now I need to do my math or whatever, you know.
Is that a MeWe?
I don't know. But it's so important. That's what I said. I'm like, I don't know.
But maybe what it is, especially in the piece that goes to administrators, to not necessarily the PIs, but to the administrators and the teachers, is that almost what you need to do is provide imagery, provide a little story that says, you know, this is what a MeWe school to its ultimate would be. You know, the bells don't ring, but you know, they go out. You know, they go out to the garden, and they, you know, the school garden that has vegetables and has this and that, and they, you know, they do a writing thing, and then they do this, and then, oh yeah, they pick some of the vegetables to take in for the, you know, for lunch, and then they give some of the vegetables to the homeless shelter, and then they, you know, and then they come back in, and everybody's turned, you know, they turned off the lights when they went out, and they, you know, you sort of paint this picture of what this idealized
MeWe Nirvana.
Nirvana would look like, but then it hits at, but it hits at those kind of what would a day be like, and it brings in the social parts, it brings in the outdoor experience are meaningful and woven into the normal day. They're not this like, oh, we're going on a field trip, you know.
It's that kind of giving those administrators the look for.
The look
for. What are the
kinds of things? Oh, we can do
things.
That. You know, yeah. No, we're not going to have all of that, but we can do that.
Yeah. And what you don't want that to turn into is that checklist.
It's a checklist, and that's why it's sort of like maybe a day in the life of.
But on the other end of the spectrum, what we were talking about, I know that like the unstructured stuff doesn't sell well. Like, no administrator is going to want to hear like, oh, we encourage your kids to just go out and hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So. Where's
But if you have like an outdoor classroom where they can go, I know my daughter's elementary school just had an outdoor classroom, and yes, it's a sensory garden, and there are you know, reasons to go out there, but there also there are opportunities to just go out there and to write and to just use it as another
venue.
Venue, I guess. Mm-hmm.
There are schools that work that way. Mm-hmm. They're just not the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Montessori schools are pretty much structured around exploration and play.
Right.
And there are other magnet experimental schools that...
No.
Yeah, we have to wrap up.
Again.
Are we going to talk about the strategies or...
The best practice, the next...
There's a panel.
Thank you, everybody.
You're the staff. So I think